Preparedness to order for Tuesday, March 31st, and thank you all for your patience and us getting around to get this started. We're going to first go to a few work sessions. thank you, Vice Chair. It shouldn't take but just a few minutes to move these things on to the floor. So let's see, though.
Mr. Chair, are we going to do work sessions with people missing?
Yes, we are. We can have a rule suspended when they come back and have them vote.
We'll suspend them when they come in. Oh, we'll suspend the rules.
Right. Thank you. So I'm first going to open a work session on a House joint resolution number one. Mr. Administrator, do you want to just remind us quickly what that is?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, HCR 1 memorializes Lance Corporal Joseph E. Rodenwald. The committee met on 3/10. There was no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Thank you. Mr. Vice Chair?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move HCR 1 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Escobo moves HCR 1 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Boone?
Excused.
Vice Chair Escobo?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
What are we going to do?
Representative
Parrish?
Excused.
Representative
Puliso?
Aye.
Chair
Lively? Aye. Motion passes. Representative Olson will carry that on the floor. Next, I'll open a work session on House Joint, or House, HCR 2, whatever it is.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move HCR 2 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Escobar moves HCR 2 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Boone?
Excused.
Vice Chair Escobal?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Excused.
Representative
Lusa? Aye.
Chair Lever?
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Olson will also carry that one. I'm going to open a work session on HCR 3.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 3 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Escobar moves HCR 3 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Escobar?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Yes.
Representative Parrish?
Excused.
Representative Lusa?
Aye.
Chair
Lever? Aye. Motion carries. I'm going to open a work session on House Joint Memorial 9.
Mr. Chair, I move House Joint Memorial 9 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Escobo moves House Joint Memorial 9 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Vice Chair Escobo?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Excused.
Representative
Puliso?
Aye.
Chair
Lever? Aye. Motion carries. Representative Parrish will carry that bill. We'll have one more. Or two more, excuse me. I'm going to open the work session on House Bill 3479.
Mr. Chair, I moved House Bill 3479 at the floor with the due pass recommendation with the subsequent referral to House Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Escobar moves House Bill 3479 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Escobar? Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Excused.
Representative Puliso?
Aye.
Chair Lightwood?
Aye. Motion carries. And finally, a work session on House Bill 3303.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash two amendments dated 3/16/15 to House Bill 3303.
Representative Escobar moves to adopt the dash two amendments dated 3/16/15 to House Bill 3303. Could you just summarize the amendments, please? I'm sure everybody has looked at them, but let's make sure that's done.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Proposed 2-2 amendments clarify the language to define a service-disabled veteran, contracting agency, contractor, subcontractor, the responsible bidder or proposer, and the ownership criteria of small business. The 2s also change the scope of the report to the governor, agency director, and the legislative assembly.
Thank you. So is there any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, please call the roll. Oh, sorry. Hearing none, I'm just, amendment's approved. Come on, get it down, would you? Okay. Mr. Vice Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move House 3303 as amended to the floor with the be adopted recommendation that the bill be referred to House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Effectiveness by prior reference.
Representative Escobar moves House Bill 3303 as amended to the floor with a be adopted recommendation and that it be referred to the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Effectiveness by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Escobar? Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Excused.
Representative
Caruso?
Aye.
Chair Lightwood?
Aye. Motion carrying. Okay, good work. So I'm going to, at this point, open a public hearing on House Bill 3354. Mr. Administrator.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 3354 establishes a task force on innovative housing strategies for veterans. Requires the task force to report to the Legislative Assembly by September 15, 2016. Sunsets December 31st, 2016. Declares an emergency effective on passage. There's no revenue impact. There may be a fiscal impact. No statement issued. And it has a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Very good. Representative Evans.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if it's acceptable, could I invite Mr. Chandler up as well?
Certainly, go right ahead.
I know he has to be in several places at once, so I wanted to get him up.
That's
here.
What I understand, yes.
Want me to start now?
Go ahead. Okay.
For the record, my name is still Paul Evans, representing House District 20, Monmouth Independence, West Salem, and South Salem. Of all the bills that are in a package of veterans issues this year, the one that is, I think, the most interesting in terms of the potential for long-term partnership between industry, nonprofits, and public is this bill right here. House Bill 3354 is an attempt to have a formal conversation with home builders, with potential lenders, with others that are in the industry in a way that can both help veterans and those seeking housing, as well as perhaps homeless veterans programs specifically, and at the same time help some of our builders throughout the state that may find themselves in a particular issue. This started with a conversation with a local builder in town, and this was several years back during the not-so-great, not-so-wonderful recession, when that fella had about 120% inventory, and he couldn't move a house to save his life. And we said, boy, you know, it's weird when you have a situation where there's these houses that are almost complete, almost able for someone to live in, and we've got 25,000 homeless veterans that throughout the state that we wish we could take care of. So the idea was, well, is there a way perhaps to leverage resources so that not for profit, but at an acceptable place where the builder doesn't necessarily lose money, but he can slough off some of that inventory and we can move some of that housing into use. So that conversation led to discussions with Senator Wyden's office and this, that, and the other thing. So what we're looking at today, and what I've talked with Mr. Chandler from the Home Builder Association, is actually having a formal process that can report back to the next session with ideas and suggestions on how we can leverage available resources throughout the state, not one area specific, but throughout the state, that can, again, help folks when recessions or slowing of the economy starts to maybe make that fall a little bit less drastic and at the same time move housing and in short-term and in long-term increments to the other side of the ledger to help veterans that need a place to live. And at some point in the future, as our population of veterans goes down, those properties can actually be moved back into the marketplace. So it's a way to rethink how we currently are providing some of those services. So that's the goal of the task force. I've talked with housing about it. There's about $6 million set aside for veterans housing this biennium. We're not trying to go after that, but we know that there are dedicated funds for homeless veterans in any number of programs throughout the state. This is basically an attempt to come up with a formula and a program of how we might be able to really leverage those available resources throughout the state in tailored ways to help veterans homeless and, in some cases, veterans short-term housing as well. So that's the big picture. If you have any questions before I hand it over to Mr. Chandler.
Any questions at this point for Representative Evans?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is just to house people. It's not for them to purchase the home?
Chair Lively, Vice Chair Esquivel, it could be both long-term for purchase. It could also be for short-term programs like Home of the Brave, where it's a 3 to 6 month program. Basically, looking at the available structures that are there, working through the networks on the private side to find out where available inventory is, how we can actually make it to where that inventory is more available, especially during times of economic downturn, where we can help folks on both sides of that particular discussion. And at least long-term envisioning is ODVA, through their home or vet program, could buy some of these homes and sell them. But in some cases, it may not be something that people want to buy. It may be in an environment where there isn't any short-term housing for homeless veterans in transition. So basically, this is the first step to have the conversation about what's really needed out there and how can we leverage the resources for the full spectrum of housing and home issues.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Certainly, go ahead, Representative.
If you two would like to get together, I've got a pretty lengthy idea because I was looking at targeting blighted areas in my community. And I really, it's self-sustaining, and pretty soon it grows, and it grows through the people that are utilizing the services. So if you want to discuss that, I'd be glad to do that with both of you.
Chair Lively, Vice Chair Esquivel, that kind of idea is precisely what we would try to harness in this task force process.
Love to talk about it.
Any other questions for Representative Evans? Okay, Mr. Chandler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. John Chandler, Oregon Home Builders Association, here in support of House Bill 3354. And I've got to say, I'm doing that with a certain amount of embarrassment because I didn't think of this idea myself. I think it's extraordinarily thoughtful, this idea that Representative Evans brought forward. When the recession hit, and some of you were in the legislature then, others were just simply watching, the housing market just simply stopped. And there's no other way to describe it. What was going great guns, the switch went off. And can't tell you how many of our membership was almost 6,000 members statewide. We're now down to about 2,800. It was that dramatic of an impact, both on the home building industry, the subcontractors, the realtors, people. We had and all these when it stopped, there was inventory like Representative Evans has mentioned that could not be given away, and instead got given back to banks. And I'm not mad at the banks; they're enforcing their security documents. But there was a supply imbalance. We didn't even think about the demand. And I don't know how many of you or your colleagues asked me during the 09 session, what can we do? And I didn't have an answer for you. I wish I'd have thought of this because it would have been a way to get some of the inventory put to use, helping veterans, other disadvantaged or vulnerable populations in a way that didn't make the builder necessarily a bunch of money, but got them off the note, allowed them to get back into business. Because frankly, what happened when we started turning inventory back to the lenders was the lines of credit dried up. For obvious reasons. Had we had a method like this, it could have allowed a lot of those people to stay in business, perhaps go back into production. We're still lagging behind, as I'm sure you've heard from the state economists and others. Our housing production should be about 23,000 units a year statewide. We're going to be doing well to do 14 or 15. So we're only doing a little over half what we should be doing. And that's a normal market. That's not Yahoo. That's just burst over deaths, a healthy economy. We're not yet back in my industry up to production. Something like this could have allowed the bottom to be less dreadful and therefore it would have helped the upside. And as one of the largest employers in the state, even though we're scattered amongst many thousands of small companies, we were many times the size of Intel when we went under. And had Intel gone under, or half of Intel gone under, it would have been a statewide crisis when it happened in construction because it was invisible through those small companies. You didn't get the attention. I think this is a great idea. And I've talked to Representative Evans and with Director Van Vliet about taking this, not to fiddle with the bill, but to use this as an opportunity to talk about other populations where the same logic could be applied. And it only will apply in an economic downturn. This isn't a bailout for builders. It's a bailout for the economy when the disaster strikes. context like what happened before. Because ironically, when the recession hit, the decisions on trying to weather it or to give property back or to take a Chapter 11 or whatever it might have been, those were all done individually by companies, each idiosyncratically looking at their own situation. There wasn't a framework within which that could be managed. This would provide at least some of that necessary framework for business people to know how they could extricate themselves from a situation they didn't cause but they couldn't fix either. So I commend the bill to you. I'm looking forward to working on it during the interim. I think it's a great idea. And I hope we'll be able to come back not only with this one fleshed out, but maybe with some other good ideas to go along, perhaps Representative Esquivel's as well. I mean, this is the sort of thing that I think helps not only my industry, because we certainly could use it for the last few years, but also the state in getting people back to work, getting people housed, and restoring our community to some degree of stability. Glad to take any questions. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Representative Boone.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Sure. So maybe for Paul, you too, but we just lost a house ready to go, ready to start building yesterday. And because the cost has, in all this wait time and extra permitting and stuff like that, has gone way up, and the person said, that's it, and let's wait on it for now. So stuff like that's happening. Also, just looking around at prices and stuff like that, it seems like they're quite a bit higher. And so what I was wondering is if the ODVA is going to be buying these houses, is there a top limit, or are they looking at, you know, sort of mass produced or manufactured housing, or what level of building are you talking about, and who would be these builders, who does this?
I think it's that matter.
Please. Mm-hmm.
Chair Lively, Vice Chair Boone, first of all, I don't want to volunteer ODVA for buying houses yet.
Okay.
But the concept would be the framework the task force would come out in terms of recommendations would provide ORVET an option and perhaps leveraged resources through ODVA in nonprofits throughout the state where they may be having a good relationship with the county VSO program or whatever. So the idea in terms of the pricing on the houses and those types of things, don't know yet. But the goal would be to build up inventory during down times when it can help the building industry, the workers, and quite frankly get value at maybe 80 or 90 cents on the dollar. So costs are covered, but we can also get into those homes. As far as construction standards, I think it will vary. And the thing I'm most excited about with this is the market in this case really is the key to making this work, because what may work in Coos Bay may not work in Portland. Probably wouldn't work in Pilot Rock. I mean, but the builders that are in that area, they know what's going on. And by talking to the realtors and rental associations, we also can look at perhaps as they look to develop apartment complexes, et cetera, we might be able to get into that as well. So the goal is to have a very open-ended discussion, looking at what public resources are there, looking at how to maximize during economic downturns by talking to the professionals that are in that process, and then coming back to you with several different options to look at moving forward.
Quick follow-up.
Sure, go ahead.
And then, because that then asks the question, if these are considered public works in that sense, or commercial works, and not just like a private home builder, like you'd have to have a different kind of bond, for example. And if it is public money, would you be looking at Davis-Bacon law, prevailing wage?
Don't know yet. Would probably depend very much on the circumstance and the way of funding. I don't actually think ODVA would be the lead funder most of the time. I think that it would be a leveraged partnership.
The playing field in that sense. Not everybody is set up to do that kind of work.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, Representative Boone, for one thing, I usually wear a crucifix and garlic when prevailing wage gets discussed, so I'm a little uncomfortable being without that. But I think, as I understand, and this obviously will be fleshed out during the work group, the what I was looking at this as, you have a developer, a builder who's got 100 units, 100 lots, and the market crashes, and now they can't sell them, or they're going to have to give those 100 lots back. In would come DVA with money to buy them at some discounted rate, I'm sure. It'd be an alternative to a bankruptcy, perhaps. It'd be an alternative to having the banks then have a bunch of REO. I don't envision DVA necessarily, through this bill anyway, getting into the home building or financing business. It would be buying those products on the back end.
In existence,
or either in process. Obviously, these are things we'd flesh out, and I'm pleased, Mr. Chairman, that we seem to have two volunteers for the task force sitting here on the committee. That's great. You usually don't see that level of enthusiasm on a first hearing. just not to get ahead of leadership. I think you've got two prime candidates right here.
Thank you. Any
other questions?
Peluso.
Yes.
Three.
Three. I know, really, I'm cautious here. So, first of all, thank you. I think it's a great idea. however, I've heard the recession mentioned more than once, and I want to be sure that we're not jinxing ourselves. Are we not coming out of a recession? And I can see the need for stockpiling, but more than once it has been said, you know, when should the recession or another recession hit or that. I just don't want to jinx a program with those negative thoughts, even though the garlic is a good idea. I appreciate that. So, and also, really, what we're talking about here is just forming that task force at this time, correct? That's where we are?
Chair Lively, Representative Peluso, yes on the task force, and yes, we're not trying to jinx in terms of recession. However, the one thing that is critical to this approach, especially on inventory that's already out there, is that the recovery has been not equal throughout the state.
Oh, no, I agree.
And there
I understand.
Are areas where I actually think this may still be a factor even today, though I'm hoping we simply come up with policies through the task force that are there for the next time there is a downturn so we can actually maximize that and not wish we could have.
I just hope we don't have to even deal with that. But
Representative Escobar.
Yeah, I think this has been agreed around 2008.
Yeah.
But consequently, you're right. It did stop. It's like a ball falling off the table. But this thing could work even in a good time if you utilized it with veterans into a blighted area where you could refurbish and set up a trust fund. I'm telling you, folks. It'd work, and it'd be self-sustaining. You'd get government out of it within 5 to 10 years.
Anything? Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Chandler and Representative
thank
Evans.
You.
Anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 3354?
Mr. Chair, just a brief comment.
Certainly.
I am keeping track, and I think Representative Evans has now surpassed Senator Dembrough's freshman year allotment for task forces. I am keeping track.
I was wondering if somebody was tracking.
I am keeping track.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair, maybe we get Representative Evans to do a bill to do a task force to oversee the task force.
Maybe we could. I'm going to close the public hearing on 3354. That's a good suggestion, though. Okay. Let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2899. Mr. Administrator, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2899 establishes the Veterans Benefit Economic Development Fund. It allocates $10 million from the Administrative Service Economic Development Fund for veterans' purposes as specified. It may have a fiscal or revenue impact statement. None have yet been issued, and there is no subsequent referral.
Representative Evans.
Chair Lively, members of the committee, point made on the task forces. if it's acceptable, I'd like to invite up some guests.
Certainly,
that are joining
go
me.
Go right ahead, please.
Come on up if you can. General Caldwell, are you coming up? All right, there you go. 28, this will be very brief, at least my portion, and then I'll let other folks talk. This session is not really a surprise to anybody. Money is tight. And especially for general fund, money is very tight. But yet the need of 1,000 folks coming back in just a month or so now, and the 300 veterans or so that are coming back every month from all services off active duty, those needs remain as well. And this is an option. This bill would provide a legal definition for use of a relatively small portion of the lottery for economic development activities and define outreach programs for veterans as economic development. And I'm very careful about that term. There's some things I don't think necessarily would be appropriate per se to fund out of lottery, but anything that is designed to be an investment that brings especially federal dollars into the state. We know from last year's experiment that Director Smith talked about $1 million investment brought $5 million back. We know in other estimates, when you look at total count, it's higher than that per dollar of state investment. We don't have a lot of time before the door or the window or pick your metaphor shuts on this particular group of veterans coming back. With this bill, I think we could fund a package of between $5 and $7 million legitimately The bill would require that we look in 4 years or so, look back and showcase how these investments have actually been economic development. So I'm not trying to be fast and loose with the intent of the lottery. But I know that the need is real. This is a way to actually get it done that's not general fund. And it opens the door for some of the absolute critical resources that, quite frankly, are investments. We will either help the veterans reintegrate in many cases, or we will pay for them at a much higher cost in far different ways. So this is an approach. I'll shut up there and let the folks that are here introduce themselves and talk about it. But I really ask for your support on this measure.
Thank you. Please.
Hi, my name is Kyle Rogers. I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. I served from 2002 to 2006, so I've been out about 9 years. I finished up my degree at Western Oregon University. I live in Malala. I work in Monmouth at Western. I teach a class called Veterans in Transition. So over the last nine years, I've been doing my own transitioning out and then now working with others and trying to help them with theirs as well. So I'm just here to show my support for the bill. To me, like, we see a lot of get a lot of handshakes for thank you for your service, and you see a lot of yellow ribbons, but there's often not a lot of substance to that. So I think this is one way to put some substance behind those gestures. So that's all I really got to say. Thanks.
Thank you very much for being here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Mike Caldwell. I live in South Salem. This goes back actually to three of the members that are here from years gone by, where there were efforts made by the legislature to place service officers throughout the state in different capacities, if you recall. The success of that, I think, was outstanding. Of course, the lack of funds and other things that have occurred over the years, those diminished out. And we know that there's a lot of veterans out there that are still getting off active duty or getting back from deployments from the Guard, and they're going to school. That seems to be one of the traits that we learned throughout the process in the early part of the 2000s, as we saw this big increase in veterans coming home. Those resources aren't there today to help those young men and women, those kids actually get back reinstalled and become productive citizens. And I agree with what Representative Evans said in previous testimony, that if you can get them employed now or get them engaged now, whether it be into a small business, whether it be into a education capacity, we all know the statistics on people that get educations, they end up paying taxes and a lot more, they have higher incomes, et cetera, et cetera. That's all, you know, empirical evidence that we know that's out there. So anything we can do to, I think, provide that path, that you can do to provide that path for veterans is worthy, and certainly not a bit too late, because we've had a reduction in that capacity throughout the state. And I'm sure with the good leadership of Director Smith at ODVA that he can find some very innovative things to do to try to help this population of Oregonians that we have an obligation to, in my mind, to help and try to get them back in productive and back in society. So thank you very much for your indulgence.
Thank you. Sir?
Chairman Lively, committee. My name is Jeff Julem, 21st Century Veterans for Progress, retired lieutenant colonel from the U.S. Army. I also spent 10 years in the Oregon National Guard. I'm here to support House Bill 2899 to promote the idea that veteran services are economic development. When I served in the Oregon National Guard, I served 2 years as the public affairs officer, and part of that job under Colonel Caldwell here, or General Caldwell, excuse me, was to talk to people like you about the economic benefit of spending state dollars on the Oregon National Guard. We conservatively estimated that for every state dollar, we got three to five back in federal spending, sometimes a lot more, and that created a 3-to-1 ratio effect. That is, for every dollar spent, we got a minimum of $3 of economic activity. You've heard other testimony like that. So when we look at these veterans programs, it's not just some kind of spending money to spend money. It's spending money to bring money back in. And as the general mentioned, as some of these programs, like education, for example, where we educate veterans or help them create their own businesses, you're getting that money back, but you're also creating tax revenue. You're also creating additional jobs in the case of businesses for maybe other veterans, and that helps the economy build up, so it's not just a handout. I spoke before to this committee about the high number of veterans' incarceration rates, and that's a negative drain. If we get veterans early on into these federal programs and some state programs to get them off those paths, not only is it a positive, it takes away from a negative aspect on the state and its budget. Finally, these people, as many of you know, because many of you in the committee have also served country, being a veteran is not easy. Even in a peacetime training environment, it's not easy. Deaths occur, training is difficult. And so coming back to society, it's the least we can do for these guys to help develop them economically, to help both them and us. And finally, before I finish, I want to talk about a guy named Thad Firkins. A friend of his contacted me. He spent 10 years in the Air Force, deployed to the Gulf 3 times, and came back a very sick individual. He has spent the last 10 years trying to navigate the system to get the funds necessary to help him out. He was unsuccessful. He's probably got about 5 years of life expectancy left. He's a guy we could have helped. He wanted to work a job. He's trying to work jobs, but now he's reached a medical situation that shouldn't have happened where he can't. He's an example of someone who could have been a positive asset to the economy as opposed to a negative one. And with that, thank you all for your time. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Any questions for this panel? Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you all for your service. Always nice to see you too, Brigadier General. I, unlike some people in this building and nobody on this committee I know, I don't always consider the dollar the most important piece of it. And it sounds like this is something that people who want to come back and either go to school or start a business or work for somebody or do something, you know, that they, because, I mean, all two of the veterans we've hired, a small company, have been, and we lost one to Camp Rylea, sorry to say. Lucky for them, but not for us. They want to work. They want to work hard, and they do a good job, and they're just exemplary employees. And people like our guy could have gone out on his own easily. I'm sure he helped a lot of people just on the side anyway, but he's doing great things at Camp Rylea, and you know, he had a lot of backup too, and so that was good. But I worry about the men and women who come back and they don't, you know, have somebody back home. They don't have family, or they do and they're estranged, or whatever reason, or they're here and their family's back in New York or someplace. So this is great, and I've yet to find a bill that's come through us that I don't like, but maybe someday. I don't know. And thanks to Rep. Evans for bringing this forward. Appreciate that, Paul.
Representative Huffman.
My question's for Rep. Evans. I just, when the panel's done.
Sure. Any questions for other members of the panel? Doesn't look like. Thank you very much for taking the time to testify.
Should we establish a task force on this?
You know?
Chair Lively, Representative Esquivel, if that's what you would like, yes.
We can do that.
We're looking to you for your guidance.
Thank you, Representative Evans.
And I may have been still thinking of the task force comment that I made earlier and missed your earlier testimony, so forgive me if you covered this. But would this be a continuing thing or a one-time shot, first of all?
Chair Lively, Representative Huffman, the legal definition would be forever. And the goal of the bill is to provide the legal definition and a framework to justify expenses as economic development, which would include, by the way, Representative Peluso's bill as a women outreach coordinator, anything that's delivering services to veterans that can bring federal dollars back in. So it's not just about jobs, but it does provide those services. And the goal is that with the legal definition, legislatures in the future could allocate money out of the lottery as they see fit based on need.
Follow up?
Absolutely.
So do you have a dollar figure in mind, or are you going after a percentage similar to Rep. Parrish's bill? How would they differ?
Chair Lively, Representative Huffman, my ask is $5.6 million, plus or minus. And there's a letter that I've submitted to Chair Lively that I'm, if it's okay with him, I can share to you.
Go ahead.
That kind of outlines a package for this legislative session that I think are the critical assets. Anything more would be great, but it's on outreach. It's on a couple of specific factors related to education, the GAP bill, for example, the GI GAP bill. So with this legal definition and about $5.6 million, we could fund that entire package.
Clarification. So you had mentioned something that suggested that the monies would only be correct me if the only is a little strong, only invested in programs that would leverage federal or other dollars back in?
Chair Lively, Representative Huffman, the goal is to have a program that showcases how the money is invested, provide an outcome that is bringing dollars in. So in this particular word, the bills that I've put forward in that particular package, by definition, are meet the only standard. They're designed state investments to leverage outreach to vets that may be eligible to bring federal dollars, either direct compensation or programs or other perhaps healthcare services that are seen as an economic development outcome. So only in this case covers the things we talk about that ODVA currently does. But it's in a way to showcase to folks that perhaps may not think that those types of programs are actually economic development, and in a demonstrated format to showcase that it actually is. Does that answer
Thank
the question?
Yeah. Representative Parrish.
Thank you, and pardon my lateness. I had the head of DHS up in our offices, and so excuse me for being late. Representative Evans, I'm going to obviously support this. I support using these dollars for this purpose. This is amount, though, that is significantly less than where the HDR 22 gets us. My anticipation in HDR 22 is that the 5% of the lottery is about $26 million, less the $4.5 million, because this body tends to make the decision that once we've allocated those dollars, then we don't have to give you general fund. So do you anticipate with this bill a situation where our friends in Ways and Means would then say, well, we're going to give you this much money and reduce, and there's not enough of an offset. In HDR 22, there's actually an offset. In this bill, while I'm absolutely going to support anything that gets more money, this bill doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence that we don't actually then just get back to net neutral, or, you know, of the $9 million or whatever that's going to come out of this body for the military and Veterans Affairs. That this becomes we're going to use this funds and we'll use it to backfill the general fund and keep the obligation at the same $9 million. So how do you ensure that this is actually dedicated revenue versus the sweeping that would potentially happen out of other general funds for
Chair Lively, members of the committee, Representative Parrish. I, number one, I do not believe in this session that it would be supplanted. Quite frankly, because you have the bill that you do and the possibility of taking it to the ballot. Number two, long term, once it's defined as economic development and proven as such, I think some of the rationale that had been used in the past as far as not being able to use lottery will be swept away themselves. And number three, we're watching. And the fact of the matter is, if I was concerned in 08 and 09, and I was, about what we're not doing and the growing suicide rates and everything else, I am far more concerned now that the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have whittled down, even as our Congress debates declaring war on an entity that is global. And we have been fighting this war with the same folks over and over and over again. And my approach is, by this legal definition, we actually put the ball in the court of legislators being able to push that amount forward through the chair and through other members to try to fight for what's right. Up until this point in the past, there have been some barricades put into place because it wasn't legally allowed. At least that was the definition. This changes the legal definition with this package of $5 million, which admittedly is less than what HDR 22 could do. The $5 million to me is the absolute minimum we must do. I'm always open to far more ideas because I think over time, every dollar we put investment for veteran services will prove itself to be a wise investment, both in human capital as well as the infrastructure of our state. So I don't have any proof other than it's one less barricade that folks might be willing to use as a justification not to expend the money, and that with us committed to this particular approach at this particular time, I think we can make some headway.
Thank you. And a real quick, just follow-up comment. I trust you to do the right thing on this issue.
Thank you.
That we're going to get, you know, 5 plus 9 equals 14 and some change. My faith in the process, given what I've seen in the last 4 years on this committee, I don't necessarily trust some of the people in the basement doing Ways and Means stuff, because I think that it's like that supplant is a great word. You know, the ability to say, hey, we've got 9, and, you know, that's what we usually give you. You want 5 from over here. We'll just move the 5 from over here and take away 5 from over here, and you still get 9. I mean, that's my biggest fear by not putting in something greater than what we're currently funding for, because the reality is, I mean, you heard some of the debates today on a whole different subject. You know, there are ways to get to this funding. I actually believe that, having gone through checkbooks of agencies, not budgets, but checkbooks, there's ways to get there and not have to make any cuts or make any of this happen. the will of this committee has always been, even though we got some new folks on here, the will of this committee has always been, we send the checks and we send the bills down. They have policy, fiscal impacts, and then they just die in ways and means. And that's my frustration. I trust your intent completely on this. I do not trust our colleagues on this.
Chair Lively, Representative Parrish, just a quick comment. I believe I have been told to push this way. This has been the appropriate way. I've had conversations with the co-chair. He's aware of this approach. I think all involved understand that if there's not sufficient progress made, that the public has other options available at the ballot. Mm-hmm. So I trust the folks involved in the process. And if that doesn't work out, then there's option B.
Representative Escobar, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How many people do we have coming, returning from the theater every year, approximately?
This year.
Chair Lively, Representative Escobar, I think the ODVA can answer that question from years past, and again, not just from theater, but there was somewhere between 250 and 300 a month that were coming back off of activation, off of active duty, off of reserve duty, et cetera. So I don't have that number. They can speak to that number. But I assume it's in the same ballpark.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Representative Evans on this bill? Doesn't look like it. Thank you.
Thank you for consideration, Chair.
I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2899. We have about 3 minutes left, so we're obviously not going to be able to hear House Bill 3386. So I'm going to carry House Bill 3386 over to Thursday, April 2nd. And we have some unfinished business, so this will need to be made by one of the members of the motion, isn't it?
I think you can say that amendment
from the first. Just a second. So,
I need to vote on everything I need to vote for. This is a really easy motion.
Representative. Oh, we're not on the record? Oh, I'm sorry. We back in? The gavel back in?
Okay, we're in.
Mr. Chair, I move that we suspend the rules to allow Representative Parrish and Representative Boone to vote on the particular items that we had voted in prior to them arriving.
Do I hear any objection to the motion to suspend the rules to allow the Representative Parrish and Representative Boone to vote on those items that we previously discussed or voted on? Hearing none, so we would call the members, I guess, on those items.
Vote yes on all of them. Aye.
It's legal.
So, HCR 1.
Okay, that's the one I missed.
That's 1, 2, 3, 9.
2, HCR 2 also, I think.
And I missed those two.
Right.
First two, yeah.
We'll get it.
HCR 1.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
HCR 2.
Aye.
Aye.
HCR 3. That's just you.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes. Aye. Yes. Aye. Yes. Aye. Aye.
Is that all?
That's the fastest voting I've ever done.
Any further business to come before the committee today? Doesn't look like it. We're adjourned.
I forgot to ask for that other task force.
Yeah, well, I think you have a couple more, don't you?